and whistleblowing report 2018 to 2019. Is this getting a musical accompaniment then with the whistleblowing?
One of my many failings, I think, is the inability to do this. Chair, can I apologise first of all now, because your name is on the back of this report. And I, again, like my colleague, failed to give you a copy, and I will endeavour to make certain that that doesn't happen again.
The only thing I would say, we did have a meeting some weeks where some of these items were discussed.
This particular report, though, is more a statistical report for the grabbing some of the numbers, because on an annual basis, we need to say to you the number of cases we have not been involved in. I think it would probably be more helpful if we bring this report to you and bring it a lot earlier, because this report is covering April 2018 to March 2019. So become a little way adrift. There are a number of areas where we do get involved in relation to fraud, specifically as the DWP have had a change of heart and they would like joint working with effect from October of last year. The council has been working on joint cases. The impact basically of that is it means that instead of having two potential prosecutions, there is only one prosecution. So there is a saving in that we wouldn't have to take case forward if we deemed it necessary to do so. The other area where there is a benefit is in relation to the subsidy claim. So it is useful to do joint working. Obviously, as far as the period in question that we're talking about, which is October of last year to March of this year, there were 10 joint working cases, of which 5 have been closed without further notice, and as at March of this year, because I'm only reporting for that period of time, the other 5 cases were being worked on, and I will bring to you a report that says how we're doing in relation to those cases and how many cases we've got on the table moving forward. The other areas where they are not benefits related, so they would be across the council, so the non-benefits investigation types of cases I'm talking about are direct payments, it may be blue badge fraud, it may be contractor, supplier, theft fraud, those type issues. We have had 3 cases, one of which we had concluded and reported to you, but because it's in the same reporting period, that's why it's contained in here. That's the successful prosecution. There was an additional 3 cases. Of those, 2 have been closed and 1 as at the 31st of March is still work in progress, and as I said, it will be part of the next reporting period. We've had a couple of changes around some working practices. There were no whistleblowing cases reported for that whole year. We've had a change in that we have a whistleblowing email account, and that is to encourage people that if they want to raise things confidentially, that they can submit their concerns through. It is audit that have access to that, but we would meet with either the monitoring officer, section 151 officer, to determine perhaps where that should go, or with HR if the nature of the concern that's being raised is not of a financial nature. So there's been some improvements in that we've got a register in place, but there haven't been any concerns, as I said, for the period noted. There's a bespoke email account, and that's probably the most amount of the amendments that have been actioned. We also have some scheduled work. So the National Fraud Initiative, which is a mandatory requirement, which is data sets that central government require us to analyse the results of the data analysis. That is work in progress, and any significant results will be brought back to you in March. The other areas are that of work that we need to conclude is any revision in the policies, and we're talking whistleblowing, anti-fraud, bribery and corruption, or anything that supports the control framework that is in place in this area will be brought back to you in March to seek your approval. And I think the final area is we are still doing more work tapping into our own data analytics. which is where we can do certain matches, but again, that will be brought back to the committee, the final details. So this really is to say this is the number of cases, not the substance of the cases behind it. So I'm more than happy to take any questions that you may have, but it's a pretty short paper.
One question from Chris.
Just a comment. I agree with you. It's a long while after the event that we're looking at this, and it would be much more appropriate to be looking at it in the quarter after rather than 3 quarters after.
Yes.
So I'm just reading under the consultation, in accordance with policy and with senior management, who are often the recipients of allegations of irregularity. Can you just explain what you mean? You know, allegations of irregularity?
We may have concerns raised, and it is the senior individuals within the council that usually have those contacts. Predominantly, it's either monitoring officer or section 151 where there is a notification. We might get, I haven't on this council ever gotten any concerns raised against them, but this is them receiving it, so maybe it's slightly poorly worded.
Yes, if I can put that. It's irregularities in what? Isn't it? You know, it gave the impression that the senior management were acting irregularly or erratically.
And I apologise because that's not what it was intended. No.
Even if it may be true.
They may well receive anonymous letters in the post. It's, they tend to be the avenues. Very often it is audit that will receive them, but it might be the other statutory officers as well. Or it might be the leader of the council that will get a notification through. And again, I haven't had any passed to me, but that's the experience in the other authorities that I'm involved in.
Okay. Any questions? Comment, Chris? No more? Our recommendation of this committee is to note the report of the Chief Internal Auditor and agree any further information or action as required.
Seven.
Okay, that's it. Now we come to